You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
Really good news on the minor league front from Robert Hassel, who's been on an absolute tear, just to break things down since our last pod, essentially, but maybe even back a little further. We'll go back 10 days. Hassel, 8 for 25 at the plate. That is a 320 batting average, which is 830 OPS. His hot streak actually goes back longer than that. In that time, he's drawn six walks. He's gotten on base a bunch, but his walk rate over a week and a half of 18.2 is best among Nats prospects. His batting average of 320 behind only Darren Baker, Lipscomb, who's been promoted among the Nats prospects, and I guess Drew Millis, but that was only in a couple of games at AAA after being sent back down. So Hassel really picking it up, which you wanted to see. Other notable prospects who have performed well over the last week and change. James Wood has 14 total bases. Tied for the lead among Nats prospects over the last 10 calendar days. He's 11 for 37 at the plate in that time. That's a 297 average, 745 OPS. He had really cooled off. He went through a funk after he was white hot, and he's out of that now. He's been much, much better. Walk rate is down. He has not been drawing his walks. But still, even in this stretch here, a strikeout rate, which is not low by any means, but at 27%, like, perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The big-time bat in terms of power here recently has been Brady House. He's the only prospect in the system who's got two homers over the last 10 days. Five RBI from Israel Pineda, Kevin Mate, who they got in the Cubs deal with DJ Hers leading the system. House and Baker have four. James Wood and Yoandy Morales have three RBI. In that time, in terms of on-base percentage over the last 10 days, Hassel at 470, Lipscomb before the call-up 452, Wood 370, Baker 361, and Dalen Lyle in A-plus ball, a 345 on-base percentage, hitting 280 during the stretch over the last 10 days. Your notable players at the plate.
Well, so the encouraging part for me, Grant, is you mentioned it starting off with Robert Hassel. I think he's back to being Robert Hassel, right? Like, it's clear that the injury really affected him last year, and it was something where we were very discouraged by what we were seeing, and now he's looking like Robert Hassel again. You know, an average around 300, an OPS around 750. I don't know that he's an all-star caliber player. Like, we've talked about this before. I think he's just a guy that you can depend on day in, day out, batting in the six or the seven hole or wherever you want to put him, maybe even up in the leadoff spot, whatever the case may be. But he's not going to be your superstar, but he's going to be a very important role player. And he looks like he's back to that. His bat's looking more like the Robert Hassel that we all expected of him. And also, I want to mention Dylan Cruz basically missed a week with a hamstring injury, but he luckily got back into the lineup over the last couple of days. So interested to see how he can bounce back from that and see if he can get back on track.
Real quick. On that, they kept saying, like, oh, he's fine. Oh, he'll play tomorrow. Oh, he'll play tomorrow. And I say they were saying, they weren't telling me that. But Mark Zuckerman, I think, was doing a lot of the reporting on this for MassinSports.com. And he kind of kept saying, yeah, they think he'll be in the lineup tomorrow. And it just kept not happening and not happening. And my ire was kind of raising, and I was getting a little more confused. But to your point, he is back in the lineup. So I guess we can breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hopefully he's someone that can get things figured out, maybe having a little bit of time off. Obviously, you don't want him injured, but maybe having a little time off, regroup after a long spring and everything can help him out. But yeah, James Wood cooled down a little bit. But I mean, like you said, James Wood, fantastic. It just, we can't talk enough about James Wood. I'm so excited. And maybe with a little bit of that lull, it slows down the timeline a little bit. But basically, as much as we talk about CJ Abrams, and I love CJ, like, I just want to see James Wood in a Nats uni at Nats Park as well. Like, I'm thrilled to see CJ, but man, do I want to see James Wood batting third for the Nats and just hitting tanks into the right field bleachers.
Yeah, it's coming very, very soon. It's coming. All right, let's go to the pitching side in the system. So really, technically, among guys that have started the last week or so, you've got five arms in the system that are ranked in the top 30. Parker, who's been at the big league level, who we talked about. So then four guys in the minors, and that's Harleen Susana, who they got in the Soto deal, DJ Hers, who they got from the Cubs last year in the Candelario deal, Cole Henry, who they drafted in the second round out of LSU, and Jackson Rutledge, the former first-round pick. So first things first on Rutledge, just to get it out of the way. He's coming back. You mentioned this, but he got hit by a comebacker and was kind of dinged, or else maybe he would have been called up to the big leagues when Parker got called up. His last outing, he got shelled trying to come back. Six hits, nine runs earned. That's a lot, man. Nine runs earned. That's going to take a little while to fix your ERA at that point. Yeah. But that was a two-inning outing. We saw him wear one, too. Remember in that prospect game at Nationals Park where he came in, he got hit around, then he went and sat down, and because it was just an exhibition, they brought him back out later, and he got hit around a little more. I still think, you know, there's some back-of-the-rotation upside there, you know, because of the size and the fastball breaking ball. You know, if you told me he's going to be a high-leverage reliever, I would be fine with that, too, but I mean, we're not that far removed from him having had a pretty damn good spring and, you know, looked like a major league starter. You and I have seen him in the minor leagues, and I think the night we saw him, we were both really impressed. And he pitches inside. He attacks guys. He's super closed off. He's hard to pick the ball up off of. So it has not been a particularly good start to his season. I wouldn't say otherwise. But, you know, he's not a whole lot different, in my opinion, like than Jake Irvin when he got called up. And I think the Jake Irvin you see now is way better than that. So I'm not any longer saying, I'm not saying right now he's the same as Irvin. Like the day Irvin got called up or the day Mitchell Parker got called up is kind of the same level of maybe prospect or expectation for Rutledge. And in fact, for a lot of the publications, he's actually ranked a lot higher. I just think that's because he's a first round pick, to be honest with you. I've never, like, I didn't see him and then see Jake Irvin and Parker or whatever in the minors and think Rutledge was head and shoulders better. But I think when you're a first-round pick, you get kind of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and it sucked for Rutledge with the comebacker because I don't know if you saw the video of it. He gets hit. I think it was in, like, the ankle. And I don't know if it was just out of pain, but he, like, spiked his glove. And part of me thinks, like, I was about to be in the big leagues again. I was about to go pitch in the big leagues again, and this happens? Like, he just looked so frustrated, felt bad for him. But he's also had some decent outings down in the minors. I mean, like you said, I think he's an uncomfortable at-bat, and he's going to have to find his role. I don't know that long-term for the actual big league club it's going to be in a starting capacity. But, I mean, 6'8", he loves to pitch inside with the fastball. Heck, he was doing it in the prospect game, and Lane Thomas was looking into the first base dugout like, Dave, are you going to tell him to knock it off or what? So it's an uncomfortable at-bat, and hopefully he can figure something out. But, I mean, I think he's still got potential to help this team out. Hopefully he can get things back on track. But he has had some in the last month or so, basically, with that prospect game, with that game. He's had a couple where he's just absolutely worn it.
Shout out to my guy Cole Henry trying to do the unthinkable and come back from the old thoracic outlet, the 24-year-olds in Double-A. Where, remember, his first start of the year, he gave up three hits, four runs, three earned, and didn't get out of the second inning. He has now pitched nine innings in three outings, three frames apiece, where he has not given up an earned run in a row here. Altoona, Richmond, and Erie. So that's nine innings of four-hit ball. Think about it like a start, a complete game four-hitter with one unearned run, ERA of zero, five walks, and eight strikeouts in those nine innings. So very, very good to see Cole Henry, who's been pitching every 6 days, due to pitch again in a couple more days. not give up a run here over his last three.
Yeah, it's really cool. He just seems like thrilled to be back out on the mound, right? When we talk with him at spring training, he's just a nice as could be guy. So you love to root for him, and to see him pitch well is awesome. I don't know what his long-term role is, because you would think they're trying to build him back up into being a starter. So we'll see if he can get back to that. But even if he's just that guy that pitches two or three innings out of the pen and he can be effective in that role, you would take that. And I mean, it's a shame with everything that's happened, but it looks like he is kind of gaining some of that effectiveness back, because this is a guy that was looking like maybe they'd found a steal in the second round, and then he has to have thoracic outlet. And so if he can come back and help you, even if it's just out of the pen, I think it's a plus, and he's got the stuff to do it. It's just, can he recover from that injury?
Speaking of the stuff to do it, don't look now, but DJ Hers is at it again. Five innings, one hit, one run against Toledo. And then five innings, three hits, one unearned run against, I can't even remember who Rochester was playing more recently, but doesn't matter. 10 innings of one earned baseball with 10 strikeouts in his last two starts. His average against for the season is now sitting at around 172, I believe, which is kind of where he's been through most of his career. You know, his issue is walks, and they've been there. 13 walks and 17 innings for him on the season, now with 17 strikeouts in those 17 innings. But if you just look over the last 10 days and you see those two starts, he has been absolutely dynamite. And then Harleen Susana, the A-ball, I'm ready for him to get elevated, by the way. He feels like he might as well have bought a house in Fredericksburg at this point. he just lives there full time, parts of three seasons now. But four innings, four hits, two runs, and seven Ks for him with just one walk in his last start. Now, he did have two in a row where the numbers weren't great, but he's only really had one start where the walk number was crooked, where he had two walks and two and a third. And to me, that's the main thing I'm looking at for him is, are you throwing strikes? So he's given up too many hits for his stuff. Like, we saw him blowing away big league hitters with 102 in that prospect game. For him to have 16 hits allowed in 12 innings is jarring to me and shouldn't happen. But he's got 17 strikeouts in that time. So I want him to not walk anybody. He's only walking basically a batter every three innings, which is much better than it was last year. The average against at 308 is very strange to me.
So with Susana, I just want them to accept the fact that he's not going to be a starting pitcher and fast track him as maybe a one or two.
There's no reason to do that yet, right?
No, I definitely not. But I mean,
they probably know that behind the scenes, I would think.
But you wonder the effectiveness of a guy. I know it's in single A, you know, so maybe it's something they can work on when they get him a little closer to the big leagues. But the difference in having to think, I'm going to go out here and pitch five innings versus I'm going to come out here and blow away four or five batters like he did when he pitched in the prospect game. I mean, I know it's a prospect game. It's still basically a glorified spring training, but he was one fouled 102 mile an hour pitch away from having an immaculate inning against the Nats lineup. I think it was Joey Gallo. I can't remember who the second guy is, but Jacob Young fouled off the third, he was the third batter. So I just, when you look at him, and if I think of Harleen Susana, I thought it when they traded for him, I thought it all along. I don't know that it's something that they need to do right now, but I do wonder, like, at what point do you just say, all right, enough with trying to build up stamina and all this. You go out there, you throw as hard as you can for, you know, 25 pitches, and then we'll call it a day. Like, he's got the stuff to do that. And he doesn't, like, to me, if you're sitting there trying to work on a third and a fourth pitch, I don't know. It's a waste of time to me. Like, he's going to throw 102 and throw a nasty slider, and I don't need anything else, because you're going to be a eighth or ninth inning guy, and you're going to throw gas, and people are going to be uncomfortable at the plate because you don't really know where it's going, and they don't either.
Mason Miller with the A's.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he'd be awesome if he could be a starter. And maybe it's something like, remember Jordan Hicks? He was a reliever, and now they're trying him back out as a starter in San Francisco. Maybe he could go that track. I don't know. But to me, he just screams reliever. And at some point, I don't need to see him trying to go three and four and five innings, when I think if he can go out there and be effective for one and just dial in on that, I'd take that.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. the history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
If you guys would like to leave us a comment, 5-star review, we will read your comments. We are not above that. If you say something nice, we'll definitely read your comments because we're definitely not above that. But kidding aside, please rate and review and leave a comment. It really helps us. Please spread the word. A couple of listeners tweeted out the podcast last week, including Chris in Hyattsville. We really appreciate that. Any kind of ability to get the word out is awesome. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. We're trying to grow this thing and just make sure that we're able to keep doing it. Bustin' Loose Baseball has been a lot of fun for us, and we're going to hopefully we got a triple up this week because I was under the weather. You were busy with some family in town.
Yep.
So we didn't get our second pod out in the last week as I was losing my voice, but maybe we'll go three deep. We'll do a little, we'll find a way to do a emergency pod maybe at some point this week and make up for it. But thanks to everyone for listening. For producer Darris and Toby, I'm Grant saying so long. Episode 112 of Bustin' Loose Baseball in the books.